So today we're in the second week of our series called Your Burning Questions. And if you're wondering what this is all about, this whole series is designed to answer the questions that you've submitted. And so it's been interesting to see all the curveballs you were going to throw me and everything. Because this series, what we're doing is over the last few weeks, we've been collecting questions that are really on your heart. Things that you maybe wrestle with, things that you've wondered about, maybe areas where you need help in. And we've been wanting to do this series because we believe in answering some of your burning questions. It might be the very thing that allows you to take that next step with God, or maybe even grows your faith in God to a new level. And so I'm excited about this series, and I want to thank you to everybody who turned in questions. There were some really funny ones. There were some really, really good ones, and I know we had a great one last week. Today, here's what we're talking about. We're going to be talking about kind of a couple questions, going to kind of turn into kind of one big idea, and it's the question of this: how can we hear from God? How can I hear from God? Or maybe another thing about that is, how can I understand God's will for my life? How can I understand God's will or what God wants me to do in my life, but in every circumstance? And so that's what we're going to be wrestling with today. Maybe you've wondered this before. Why does it seem like God speaks to so many different people? Why does it seem like God speaks to some people, but I don't seem to hear them sometimes? I mean, there's people, maybe you've heard, maybe you've been in a Bible study, maybe you've heard people talk about this just in your life, where maybe they say something like, you know, I just prayed about that, and God told me specifically to do this. And you're kind of looking like, oh yeah, 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 I've never heard God like that before. And maybe you're wondering, like, does God, the assumption that we bring to this is, well, maybe God speaks to some people, but not to other people. And maybe God speaks to those super Christians that Paul was talking about, Paul Smith was talking about, but maybe God doesn't speak to me. And the reality is, of this whole question, is God is speaking to us all the time. God has a deep love for us. He wants a relationship with us, and God is speaking to us. In fact, one of the great truths of Scripture is this, is that God has revealed himself to us. God has revealed himself to us. God speaks to us. God has made himself known to us. And so one of the ways that we can quickly answer that question is, God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you, always has, always is, and always will speak to you, because God desires a relationship with us, to know us intimately. And so it's one of those things where, here's kind of just thinking about the different ways God speaks. Because sometimes we think, you know, I have to tell you, I'm a pastor, I've never heard God audibly speak to me and tell me, Andy, I want you to go to the grocery store and get this kind of milk, or whatever, or Andy, I want you to marry this person, or God has never spoke to me audibly, but God does speak. And so in the Bible, we see a lot of different ways of how God speaks. In fact, you may remember in the Old Testament, God spoke to Moses audibly through a burning bush. I've never had a burning bush moment in my life where it's burning and not consumed and the voice of God comes out of it. But that's pretty awesome. God spoke that way. You may remember also the story of how God spoke to Samuel when he was asleep. It was in the dark. It was kind of like a little kid that wakes up his dad and says, I'm hearing something. And it was one of the things, God was speaking to Samuel in the dark, audibly. But in the Old Testament, God also spoke through different signs. And one of the most famous signs that God did, the way God spoke to people in the Old Testament, is when the people of God were wandering in the wilderness, in the desert, and as they were on their way to the promised land, God would lead his people with a cloud by day to cover them, and a pillar of fire by night. I don't know what a pillar of fire looks like, but that sounds awesome. I would love to see that someday. But basically what would happen, it kind of sounds elementary, but basically the people of God, whenever the cloud would be in one place, they would stay under the cloud or the fire at night. Whenever it was there, they would stay. And when the cloud or the fire would move, the people of God said, oh, this is where God is calling us to go. And they would pack up their tents. They were portable in worship, by the way, back then. They had to set up pipe and drape and all this stuff every Sunday and every day when God told them to move. So they set up everything, and then the cloud would move, they would move. And when the cloud or the fire stopped, they would stop. And it was a really clear sign of God saying, I'm directing you. I'm directing your paths. And God was trying to show his people back then that in everything, in every aspect of your life, you can trust me. I'll lead your life. You can trust me. And so you may remember how God spoke to a man named Joseph through a dream. God sometimes speaks through dreams. And he spoke to Saul in the New Testament through a stroke of lightning that struck him off of his horse. I hope that never happens to me, but God spoke in that way. There's a really funny story of how God spoke to a man named Balaam through his donkey. And it was one of those strange things, how God spoke through an animal. So God is speaking in all different ways. And so many times in the Old Testament, they would get into battles, and oftentimes God would speak through the battle. Of when God's people were victorious, it was a sign of God's presence was with them, and they were in the center of God's will. So God spoke that way. It's also one of those things where God spoke primarily in the Old Testament through the prophets. And we got a couple of questions about prophets. Why don't we have prophets today? And the short answer is that now that Jesus has come, we see God, who God is, even more clearly. We see a great picture of who God is and his will for our life through the life of Jesus. But now we're given the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of every believer and can direct our paths. So there's no longer the office of a prophet, but now people have gifts of prophecy who can teach and stuff like that. And so that's kind of why that is what it is. But God speaks in so many different ways. Today, I've found that God speaks to me through oftentimes not loud and this real big miracle thing, some large thing. A lot of times God speaks to us in a still small voice. Not usually audibly, but most of the time on our conscience or on our heart, or sometimes raising passions in our lives, things that God cares about, that God starts to make us care about and grow those passions. God speaks in so many ways. And so all throughout the Bible, there's this phrase that happens over and over and over. And it says this, and God said, and God said this, and God said that, and God said this, and God says that. And that just shows us that God desires to speak to you and to speak to me. And he's speaking all the time. In fact, Jeremiah 33:3, it says this, call to me, God says, and I will answer you. Isn't that a great truth? Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Isn't that a great thing that if we call to God, God answers to us? So God is speaking to us. So here's what I want to do today. I want to give you some tools, some things that you can kind of put in your back pocket to help you to better hear God's voice, to hear God speaking to you, and also to understand better, is this God? Is this God's will for my life, or is this something else? How do I know if this is God's will? You know, just like in any relationship, in order to have a real relationship, you have to talk to God, and God has to talk to you. In fact, Rick Warren once said that without communication, there is no relationship. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm a huge Tennessee Vols fan, huge Peyton Manning fan, and I was thinking, you know, I know Peyton Manning. Now, it's one of those things where if I were to tell you that I know Peyton Manning, I've never talked to him in my life. Just, you know, and it's one of those things, I could write him fan mail, which I don't. I could send him an email, I could call him up. But if he never returns my phone call, if we never have a conversation, we're not really in a relationship. He's not really my friend. I'm just a fan. And it's the same way with God. God has to speak to us, and we have to speak to God as well in order for us to have a relationship. But the problem for us so many times is that communication can oftentimes be misunderstood. And if you're married, you understand this sometimes pretty well. Because I've been married for 5 years. I love my wife, Mandy. She's awesome. And she can't even say enough about how amazing she is. But sometimes, as a guy, sometimes when my wife talks, I don't always hear her. Maybe you guys have that, women, you have that, you're shaking your heads about your husbands and stuff like that. But sometimes when my wife talks, I love her, but sometimes I just don't hear her. Because sometimes there's distractions like the TV or our son or something going on that prevents me from really being able to hear her voice. And sometimes when my wife speaks, I just don't understand her. I just don't understand sometimes. In fact, I heard a preacher one time telling this story, and this is like good advice for all men, for anybody who's looking to get married, who is married, and stuff like that. And here's what this pastor said one time. There are two things that you must understand about women. But nobody understands what those two things are. Nobody knows what they are. So we're going to be left in the dark and all that stuff. So it's just the reality that sometimes communication's hard. Sometimes there's distractions that come, and sometimes it's just hard to understand. And so we bring the same thing when we are trying to hear from God. And I think there's really two things in our relationship with God that sometimes prevents us from being able to tune in and have our antennas up to hear or understand God's will or God's word for us in our lives. And I think the first thing that is one of the things that prevents us, or an area that we struggle to hear from God, is distractions. Sometimes there's just distractions that happen in our lives. Have you ever been in a checkout line before at the grocery store? And you're trying to check out, and somebody in front of you, it's always the person in front of you. And it's always when you're in a big hurry, somebody in front of you is on the phone. And they're going through the checkout line, and they're on the phone, and they're having this really deep conversation with somebody, and you're like, I've got to get out of the store and everything. Well, it's one of those things where what do they do? They're talking, and the clerk, you know, the clerk's trying to get their attention and says, is this credit or debit? Trying to be really nice. Is this credit or debit? And oftentimes, they don't even hear it because they're distracted by the conversations that are happening. Or sometimes, maybe you've seen this happen. I see this at Walmart a lot. All good stuff happens at Walmart. But it's one of those things. Sometimes you see people on their phone, and the clerk starts saying something to them like, sir, ma'am, is this credit or debit? And they're like, hold on a second. I'm on the phone. Don't interrupt me. And you're behind them like, come on, man. You know. So it's one of those things that sometimes we get busy in our lives. Sometimes there's things in our lives that distract us from hearing the voice of God. Sometimes there's things that happen. There's noise in our life. In fact, Luke chapter 5, verse 16, tells about kind of what Jesus did in his life, a model for our life. And here's what it said, Luke chapter 5, verse 16. This is what Jesus did. He says, but Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places to pray. But Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places to pray. You know, there was a lot of noise and a lot of things going on in Jesus' ministry. Everybody wanted to get close to Jesus. He's doing all these miracles. And Jesus is God. It's kind of crazy to fathom this, but it's one of these things where Jesus would leave the crowd sometime. He would be with people. He'd be present. But he would oftentimes leave the crowds to be alone with God, to be alone with the Father. And if that was important for Jesus, then I think it's an important lesson for us as well. That if we want to hear from God, we got to give God a chance to speak to us and not be so distracted. If we want to hear from God and know his will, we have to carve out some time daily to be able to hear from God. Some people call that a quiet time, to basically spend some time daily reading scripture, to spend some time praying and listening for what God wants to say to us. But sometimes we have to slow down enough to hear God's voice. The second thing that prevents us sometimes from hearing the voice of God is distance. Now, God is never distant from us. We were just singing about that God is so close and wants an intimate relationship with us. But sometimes we're not close enough to God to be able to hear him. Here's what I mean. There's this area of my house, mine and Mandy's house. There's an area of our house that is, it's such a weird spot of the house because you can be in one room. I can be in one room and Mandy can be in another room. And we can be talking to each other or trying to talk to each other and you can't hear a thing. I mean, there's like no way that you can hear. You can yell or scream. You can say whatever. You can say stuff as loud as you want to say, and you can't hear each other. And it's so weird. It's pretty close to it. You can be actually just in another room. You can't hear. And it's kind of weird. It's one of those things where there's been some funny ways that we've kind of discovered this about our house. And it almost always happens when there's like, I need a diaper in a hurry, and I'm kind of stranded with our son, or there's a spill and I need some help. You can't hear a thing. And so we finally figured out that was something in our house. But the thing that we found is that the only way for us to hear one another in this part of the house is for us to get into the same room and to be around one another. And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. In fact, if you want to hear from God, you've got to spend time around God. In fact, just as I said just a little bit earlier, James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In John chapter 10, Jesus is telling this parable of how he's like a good shepherd for us, his sheep. And the thing you need to know about shepherds is that their livelihood and their life was all spent hanging out with sheep. Kind of a weird life, I know. But they knew their sheep. They had names for all of them, and their sheep knew them. In fact, Jesus was talking about this and how he's the shepherd for us. And he says this in John chapter 10, verse 27. He said, my sheep recognize my voice and follow me. My sheep recognize my voice and follow me. See, as we spend time around God, God's voice isn't foreign in our lives. We start to have our antennas up to, this is God speaking to me right now. And so here's something that you can write down. This is kind of a good takeaway. The closer we are to God, the more we hear his voice. The closer we are to God, the more we hear his voice. God's always speaking, but the closer we are to God, the more we hear his voice. The good news is, as we spend time around God, it gets easier to discern whether it's God's voice. In fact, now I've been married for 5 years. We had our anniversary this summer, and Mandy and I have known each other for 7 years. And it's one of those things, when she calls me on the phone, she doesn't have to say anymore, hey, this is Mandy. I know. I can tell her voice. I know her voice. She knows my voice. We know each other so well that I just know what that is. In fact, after I've been walking with God for so many years, and if you've had a relationship with God for a while, over time, this is good news for you, that you become more perceptive or receptive of to discern God's voice speaking to you, speaking in your life. So the closer you are to God, the more you hear his voice. So you may be wondering, okay, well, now that God's speaking to me, what do I do? Like, how do I know if it's God? I mean, you may have those moments where you kind of are thinking, okay, is this God? Am I hearing from God? Or did I just stay up too late last night and I'm just hearing voices? Did I stay up, you know, is this one of those things where am I hearing from God? Or is this just some pressure that I'm getting from my family or from my friends or from my boss? Am I hearing from God, or is this kind of some weird thought that popped in my head, or maybe an evil thought? How do I know if this is God speaking to me, and can we actually really know? And the answer is yes. And so here's kind of four ways. If you're taking notes, here's four ways that you can tell if God is guiding the decisions you make and what God's will is for your life. The first one is Scripture. See, God's primary way to speak to us is through the Bible. God speaks to us through the Bible today. In fact, one of the things you can do if you feel like God is leading you in some direction, one of the best things to do is to ask yourself this question. Does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with Scripture? In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, sometimes we don't think of God's word, the Bible, as being the voice of God, because sometimes we want it to be spectacular. Like, I just want to hear from God. We want the lightning bolts, and well, maybe not the lightning bolts, but we want to get a tablet on a mountaintop, or we want to see that burning bush and hear the voice of God and just be able to talk about what that's like. But the way God speaks to us so many times is through the Bible. God doesn't have to do all these miraculous ways, and God gives us the word. You know, it's one of those things that this is not just a collection of stories and words that are just randomly put together. The Bible is God's word for you. And it says that it's living and active, which means that God can use this to speak into your life. And when I read it so many times, it's one of those things where God shows me just how relevant it is. It's like it's reading my book. It's like it's reading my story. And in the word, we can tell where God wants us to go. We understand God's character and who he is and what God wants to do in our lives. And so you can ask yourself, does this agree with Scripture? Does this agree with Scripture? You know, God will never say anything that contradicts his word or contradicts his character. If God's saying something that seems to be against the word of God or against who his character is, it's a good sign that maybe this isn't God speaking to me. In fact, on the other hand, there's sometimes we wait around for an answer from God. Maybe we're praying about something, and maybe it's something that God's word has been very clear about. Like, this is what you're supposed to do in your life. And we're saying, well, God, I just need a sign. I need you to tell me something. And it's one of those things that if it's in the word of God, we don't have to wait on the green light. God has given us the green light in his word to go forward. Maybe a good example of this is maybe you're praying, God, should I invite my neighbor to church? Should I invite my neighbor to church? Well, God's word tells us to go and make disciples. And so you already have the go-ahead from God to say, yeah, look for the right time and I'll help you with that. But absolutely, that's my plan for you, is to use you in the world to help people get connected to me and to the church and to grow. And so that's one of the things that we do as well. You know, there's some countries today, talking about the word of God, that where the church is being so persecuted that people are not allowed to read the Bible. It's hard to imagine that. There's some countries where people are not allowed to read the Bible. In fact, there's some countries where you're literally risking your life if you're to carry the Bible, if you're found to be with the Bible. There's also some countries that just restrict it being, into their country. But it's one of those things that if you want to read the Bible, oftentimes it has to be smuggled into your home. Crazy to fathom that. In fact, I want to show you a video here in just a second. This is a clip of these people in China. These Christians who had been waiting on the day when they would maybe get a chance to have a Bible in their own language and a Bible for themselves. I want you to check out how they react.
(laughs)
Isn't that humbling? That's awesome to see just the power of the Word of God. We want God to speak to us. And this is one of those clips where it's been sent to these people, and they were so overjoyed that they got to read the Bible for themselves. It's God's Word for them. Thank you, God, that you get to speak to me. And I don't know about you, but we have multiple Bibles. Maybe you have multiple Bibles in your home. We're so blessed in this country to have the ability to do that. And one of the things we encourage people to get on their phones is the YouVersion Bible app. Many of you carry the Bible on your phone everywhere you go. We're so blessed to have that much access. And the thing that I find in my own life is sometimes I think me and I think maybe we all sometimes get numb to the reality that we get to have this Bible in our hands, the Word of God that's active and living, that's available to speak into our lives. And so it's a reminder that in our lives, not to let, you know, if we're not in God's Word, it's like the phone is off the hook. It's like it makes it more difficult for God to talk to us. God wants, if we want to know God's will, we've got to read God's Word. So that's the first one. The second way is this. Maybe you're going through something and you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, Scripture's not clear about this. I mean, I don't know if I should do this or this. It's not clear in the Scripture. Well, then you can ask yourself, well, does it make me more like Christ? Number two, does it make me more like Christ? Or does it help me to grow closer to Christ? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, sometimes we get caught up in our lives with, God, what do you want me to do? And, you know, what do you want me to be in my life? And the thing that I love about this, we're created to become more like Christ. That's God's will for your life, to come into a relationship and to make you more and more like Jesus every day. And so I love what one of my friends, Jennifer Cowart, once said. She said, one of the keys to getting in on God's best for your life, is this. Focus on who God wants you to be before you focus on what God wants you to do. Focus on who God wants you to be before you focus on what God wants you to do. You see, what I've found in my life is if we get the character piece right, as God comes into our lives and we start, we're in God and God starts to transform our life, if we get the character part right of being gentle and peacemaking and caring for others, then we start to do, what we do will naturally be an outflow of the character God is forming in us. So focus on who God wants me to be before I focus on what God wants me to do. Does it make me more like Christ? Does it lead me closer to Christ? The third thing is this, Christian counsel. Not counselors, but Christian counsel. Maybe you can ask yourself this question. Does my church family confirm it? Now, it's one of those things where worship is certainly a part of that with your church family, but what I'm really talking about is a group of people. Group of Christians who love you and who are walking with Christ and are going in the same direction as you're going, that are wanting to help you to allow God to speak into your life and for you to help them to hear the voice of God in their life. It's one of those things where we all need a group of Christians. We all need a group of Christians who are investing in you weekly and committed to helping you grow to become more and more like Christ. In fact, you need that in your life. People who can help you discern God's will and can kind of help you to be a true North Star in your life. And you may be looking and saying, I don't have that. I don't have that group. One of your next steps maybe today would be to, maybe your next step is to get plugged into a refresh group. It's one of the things we do here at this church. And it's really more than just a group of friends. It's one of those things where you read the Word together and you pray together and you kind of do life together. You laugh a lot and you drink some coffee and all that stuff. But these friends, you're doing life together. And it's a group of people that you can stand beside that can help you interpret the Scripture and help you to know what God wants to do with your life. And so sometimes you can bounce things off to some people that have been in the Word who you really trust in the Lord. You can bounce things off with them and saying, am I hearing from God or do you think this is just me? Am I hearing from God or am I just, you know, is this something else going on? And so that's another great thing. In fact, we're going to be starting new groups in September. It's going to be a great opportunity for you to get plugged in. But that's something we all need. The fourth thing is this. Do I have God's peace about it? Do I have God's peace about it? This is something you can ask yourself. So the first thing is Scripture. The second thing is, does it make me closer to Christ? The third thing is to surround ourselves with Christian counsel. And the fourth thing, do I feel God's peace with this decision? Do I have God's peace about it? You know, God's word will challenge us and convict us and sometimes stretch us. But God's word will never confuse us. You know, God's plan also gives you peace. God's plan gives you peace. In fact, when Mandy and I were praying about moving here to start the Fountain from scratch, we started hearing the call of God, actually my last year of seminary. And it was one of those weird things where we never, ever, ever thought we would plant a church. It wasn't like we were against planting a church. We just didn't see that on our radar. And God started raising up this passion in us, and kind of in conversations and so many different things, it kept coming up. And we were like, what is this? You know, sometimes if God wants to speak to us, he'll keep pressing that on your heart, giving you these passions or ideas. Well, anyway, we didn't really know what it was all about, but we started saying, okay, God, we're going to be open to that. Well, we went and we were planting another ministry at a church, and it was going really well. And in the middle of that, in the middle of a great season, we were kind of given the opportunity to start this church. And it was kind of like, do you guys feel called to do it? And what we ended up looking at that and saying, okay, look, this looks really, really scary. There's no people. There's no church name. There's no church building. So we're going to get a little bit of money. And no church is going to help us directly send a whole lot of people or anything like that. God, I don't know if we can do this. And it's one of those things where doubt could have made us say, no, I'm not going to do that. But we kept feeling like this peace that passes all understanding come over us, that God wanted this to be something, wanted us to be part of that. And so as you know, this is the story. Almost two and a half years ago, the Fountain began. And it's one of those things where when God presses something on your heart, he'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. And so God speaks to us and is speaking to you right now. But it's the thing in our life that we have to do is we have to make room for God. We have to make room to hear his voice, to sometimes remove distractions. Maybe your next step today and this week is to carve out some space every day to spend time reading God's word and praying. Maybe your next step today is to simply get yourself surrounded by some other Christians in a group, maybe a refresh group, where you can do life together and you can have people to help you discern God's will for your life. But I think for all of us, the message is God is speaking to us. God loves us and has a plan for our lives, and he's speaking to us. And our job is to simply be attentive to what God wants to do and what God wants to say. Let me pray for you. God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it's active and living. And we thank you that every single day you want to speak to us. You speak to us in the Bible. You speak to us through friends sometimes that are other believers. God, you speak to us on our conscience. But God, we thank you that you're not a God that's distant, that you're a God that wants a relationship with each and every one of us. And maybe for some of you, you're saying, you know, I want to take that next step. Maybe I'm not in a group. I want to take that next step. Or maybe, you know, I do need to carve out that time to be alone with God, to really hear God's voice. But maybe some of you are saying, you know, I just feel like it's disconnected. I feel like I don't have that relationship. Maybe you'd like to do that today. Maybe you'd like to enter into a relationship with Jesus. And all you have to do today is to simply say yes to the grace God has offered to you. And maybe you'd pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I don't have all the answers. I know, God, that you want to work in my life, though. And God, I know that you've been speaking to me for my whole life, and today I want to start that relationship. I want to begin to start hearing from you in a new kind of way. God, I want to invite you today to become my Lord and to become my Savior and to come into my life and save me. God, forever and ever and ever, I want to walk in the ways, not my way of living, but I want to turn to your way of living. And God, from this day forward, I want to put my faith and my trust in you. But God, for all of us, I pray that you would help us to take those steps. You would help us to have our antennas up. But God, as we know, as we're close to you, you'll draw near to us. As we're close to you, we start hearing your voice. So God, help us to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.